The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by John. Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he arrived in the temple area, and all the people started coming toward him. And he sat down and he taught. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And they made her stand in the middle. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But they continued to ask him, and he straightened up and he said, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him, and he straightened up and he said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you, but go ahead and don't do it again." This is the gospel of the Lord. Of course, this is one of the most magnificent short passages in the whole gospel. And there's so much packed in every line of this wonderful story. First of all, let's say in an overall way what is often shocking to people, but this passage and many others make it very clear. Jesus is actually not that upset at sinners, like most of religion is. He's always upset at people who don't think they're sinners. That's different. It's a consistent pattern, and it's made very clear right here. We're going to see that the great sin is what I would call the sin of accusing. The very word Satan, means the accuser. That instinct you have in yourself, and we see here in the scribes and the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the religious leaders, is to accuse other people. And I want you to always watch yourself. I have to watch myself. That whenever you want to blame or accuse somebody else, you're almost always at that moment not feeling good about yourself. You're hating yourself. And because you can't deal with that or don't know how to process that or transform that or forgive that, you project your anxiety onto other people. In fact, very often you accuse other people of your own faults. That's the supreme irony. So with that, now we see how the text almost perfectly exemplifies it. So first of all, he's going into sacred space, into the temple area. And here it is, he's teaching them, he's sitting down. And then the religious leaders, who you'd think would have better things to do than accusing people of sin, but already their choice of who they're going to accuse is the giveaway. As you all know, it takes two to tango. Why is only the woman brought forward? This reveals it's a male religious system, where we always, for some reason, see the sinfulness of the woman, but not the man. And that can easily go right over your head, unless it's pointed out to you. So already we see a bias at work. Then, even more clearly, after they accuse her, this woman, standing her in the middle, clearly a sign of exposing her, humiliating her, the text gives away what's really happening. They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. You'll see that in the entire history of religion, and we see it today with the way some of the cardinals and bishops are accusing Pope Francis, it's whenever you show mercy, whenever you're forgiving, or are willing to look around the exigencies of the law, you'll always be accused of being a liberal or lightweight, or you're destroying our religion because you're not enforcing the law. Well, right here, Jesus is not enforcing the law. Because in fact, that is a Jewish law. A woman, again, note, it's always a woman, caught in adultery, is allowed to be stoned. So Jesus is breaking the Jewish law, but in a most clever way, a most brilliant way. And instead, he's asking them to admit that they, in fact, are the sinners. To see that they have come with false motives. Let the one among you who is without sin, who of us in this room could throw a stone? It takes away the power of stone throwing from everybody. Because if you're honest, if you're truthful, you know that you have also sinned. And who are you to stand in judgment of any other person? As Pope Francis's most quoted line is, "Who am I to judge?" And yet the history of religion has largely been a history of extreme judgmentalism. Sometimes I feel we train people in judgmentalism. Some have a PhD in being judgmental, whereas what we should have a PhD in is being merciful. That's so clear, so clear. How can we miss what is hidden in plain sight? And then, I don't know if it's been pointed out to you, but this is the only example we have in the Gospels of Jesus writing. Never says he wrote anything. And here, of all things, it mentions it twice. He just leans over and writes in the sand. Of course, it never tells us what he wrote. I think a good suspicion is probably to say, "I really don't have time for you. You're wasting my time. I can do something better by doodling in the dust than talking to you people who pretend to be religious leaders, but in fact are sinful men yourselves." So we who call ourselves religious leaders, we have to see that this is first of all a gospel aimed at us and our temptation to accuse other people. But his beautiful last line sums it up. "Has no one condemned you? Neither do I. That's not my job. The Son of Man did not come to condemn the world," it says very shortly in this same gospel, "but to save it." And then, I guess to please anybody who'd accuse him of being light on sin, he says, "Don't do it again," which is just good common sense. Don't do something that's going to destroy you. And maybe we can end on that. Sin, it's not actions we do that upset God. You really can't upset God. It's simply things that are self-destructive. Sin doesn't work. That's why we call it sin. It's stupid. And you can't see it in the moment that it's a stupid thing to do. So he's just giving her good advice. "I don't condemn you. You made a mistake. But let's not make that mistake again." So he covers all the bases. He shows himself to be a true spiritual leader. Let's hope that some of that rubs off on all the rest of us.